Two of the most noteworthy concerts happening in Utah this week offer fans of the respective artists a similar quandary to consider before buying tickets. And the question is this: how much faith should longtime fans have in their favorite, albeit flaky, band? The flakiness I'm talking about is different for the allegedly retiring hard rock band Motley Crue and long-running hip-hop enigma the Wu-Tang Clan. But it's worth thinking about. For the Motley Crue fans, the question is whether or not one wants to believe that the band's current jaunt is truly the final tour, as it's being billed. The band members even held a press conference to sign supposedly binding contracts that they will never go on tour again, an effort to juice ticket sales from fans who have been able to see Motley Crue nearly every summer for the past decade. If fans can trust that this truly will be the last time to see one of the 80s biggest hair metal acts, the show is a must-see. While Motley Crue's music doesn't exactly rank with the greats, the band has always delivered multifaceted, theatrical live shows. But the Crue could be starting a long series of so-called final tours, like their glam godfathers in Kiss, a band that packed USANA Amphitheater in West Valley earlier this summer. And no doubt headbangers of all stripes will head to Motley Crue to hear one last epic performance of Shout at the Devil. For fans of massive hip-hop collective Wu-Tang Clan, deciding whether to buy a ticket is a little easier because they're headlining the $5 Twilight Concert Series this week. While the Wu-Tang Clan hasn't said anything about retiring lately, every live appearance seems like it could be the group's last. The East Coast Crue has only made new music sporadically over the last 20 years, and their tours have been pretty spotty at best, both in number and quality. Even so, the chance to hear Wu-Tang Clan do a song like Cream at Pioneer Park will surely convince any doubters to show up. Wu-Tang Clan headlines the Twilight Concert Series show Thursday at Pioneer Park, and Motley Crue headlines at USANA Amphitheater in West Valley City on Friday. There are a couple other shows to consider this week. New blues ace Gary Clark Jr. plays Sunday night at Red Butte Garden, and a revamped lineup of punk legends Black Flag plays Monday at the Complex. For KUBR's Books and Beats, I'm Dan Mayer.
Music glued to the TV set all night
and every night.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a pride.
We've got nothing better to do.
I'm Betsy Burton for Books and Beats. In The Good Suicides by Antonio Hill, the first suicide that occurs is also a murder. Gaspar takes his own life after killing his wife and child. It's in all the papers, but it seems illogical since Gaspar had everything to live for. A recent promotion, a wife who loved him, a baby he adored. Then the second suicide occurs. A woman who has apparently jumped from the platform onto the tracks in the Barcelona underground. Inspector Hector Salgado, initially annoyed at being called out late at night, has a hard time buying the two suicides as coincidence, especially since both victims worked at the same company, Almanet Cosmetics. As he investigates, a puzzle begins to titillate the inspector and the reader, one that seems to center on a corporate training exercise over the course of a weekend at a rural retreat. One piece of that puzzle is a picture of dead dogs hanging from a cork tree. Another is some mysteriously missing bicycles. Yet another, a figure lurking in the night. And then there's a mystery of Salgado's own past. The mother of his child, his ex-wife Ruth, who had left him 7 years before, has subsequently disappeared. Although she's widely believed to be dead, a thorough investigation has turned up no proof, no answers. The cast of this excellent mystery is a good one. The bedeviled, likable inspector, his 14-year-old son, the pregnant officer who, on leave and board, decides to investigate Ruth Salgado's case yet again, the young inspector, whom Salgado slowly grows to respect, and, of course, the suspects in the case. The plot is layered and believable. The writing fast-paced, dark, yet laced with dry wit. Even better, this is a mystery in which women aren't successively murdered by psychopaths, and which doesn't take place in Scandinavia. A pleasant change.